We're going to pick up on Tzaddik Beis today at the two dots. Yehuda told me he made it much further down on Tzaddik Beis and with Aleph. So we'll press three lines up. All right, so good. So you have some homework today. So Amir Tashem, we're going to pick up from the two dots on Tzaddik Beis and with Aleph. Good. Always klal gadol on Shabbos. It's always go ahead. It says the Gemara Shkoch. So the Gemara says two dots. Niseis api beis din teitzei. So remember again the top of Tzaddik Beis, three lines down. Actually, four lines down. Niseis api beis din teitzei. So remember again the Gemara over here, or I should say the Mishnah over here, is referring to the situation where she got remarried on the basis of the testimony of an eid echod. Now that's called Api Beis Din. Because remember, Eid Echad shows up, says that her husband died. So Beis Din gives her a license to remarry based on the testimony of the Eid Echad. So Teitzei, so that Mishnah said that she has to leave the first and second husband. However, the Mishnah qualified this ruling by saying, Petura mina karban, that she need not bring a karban, right? Achatos, since at the end of the day she did what she did, based on the psak of Beis Din, therefore she does have to bring a carbon. So Amar Ziri, less Salamas Nisin, we do not pass like this Mishnah. We did Tani Bei Midrasha, the Tani, because due to what we learned in the base Medrash, what did we learn in the base Medrash? The Tani Bei Midrasha, Horu Beis Din Shashaka Chama. Was an interesting case. Let's say Beis Din paskind that the sun went down. Rashi says b'Shabbos ve'atir lasos molacha. So Beis Din paskind Shabbos is over. You know, but say we live in such a different day and age. For us, our biggest problem is the incredible surplus of calendars that we have in our homes, right? With all different zmanin and Shabbos and this that. So in this case over here, Beis Din would tell people when Shabbos is over. So Beis Din paskind that the sun went down, and then it turned out that what? And people assume Shabbos is over and started doing malacha. Then it turns out that Shabbos wasn't over, but rather, again, it was just a very cloudy day. So what's talacha? Ein zu hora elatos. So we'll say, this is not called hora as Beis Din. It's not called the psak of the Beis Din. Rather, it's called a tos. And we'll say, the nafkamina between a hora as Beis Din and a ta'os Beis Din. If you look at Rashi, ein zu hora lismo chalea v'liftar yachid sh'asapim. And we'll say, there's a special carbon that's brought that if the tzibor goes ahead and does something, commits an avira, but it was based on the fact that they listened to a psak Beis Din, there's a par helam davar min tzibor. There is this idea of a special communal carbon that is offered. That's different as opposed to if an individual makes a mistake, an individual is obligated to bring his own personal carbon. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that Lamaisa, if Beis Din paskin that Shabbos was over, but it turns out, and people did malacha, and it turns out that Shabbos wasn't over, that's not considered to be a psak of Beis Din, but rather, what is that considered to be? A mistake of Beis Din. What's the difference between a mistake of Beis Din and a psak of Beis Din? That if a psak of Beis Din, if you did something wrong under the cover of a psak of Beis Din, you are covered. There's a certain exemption from personal liability. You only have to bring a communal offering, as opposed to if it was a mistake of Beis Din, everyone is individually liable. Rav Nachman says, Rav Nachman Amar Horahi. Rav Nachman says, no, this is not a mistake of Beis Din, but rather, again, this is a hora, this is a psak of Beis Din. And therefore, Rav Osai, the individual will not have to bring a carbon, rather, the individual is covered under the communal offering. Amar Rav Nachman, teida dorahi. So Rav Nachman says, I'm going to prove to you that, in fact, this is a psak of Beis Din, not just simply a mistake. So we'll say now, coming back to our case in Mishnah. So we'll say, the Gemara wanted to suggest, Ziri wanted to suggest, that Lamaisa, our Mishnah seems to be saying that what not seems. Our Mishnah says that if Eid Echad shows up and says to the woman, your husband died, Beis Din allows her to go ahead and get remarried, then husband number one shows back up. So what's the halacha? She has to get divorced from both men, but she is exempt from a karban. So the idea of being exempt from a karban seems to be because she acted under the instruction of the psak of the Beis Din. Ziri wanted to say, no, this is not a psak. Our Mishnah is incorrect. The Mishnah is not a psak, but rather, again, this is a mistake. To which the Gemara then brings up this discussion, this machlokes between Rav Nachman and the Tanakamo about whether or not, again, when Beis Din goes and issues this particular ruling, is it a ta'os or is it a hora? So Rav Nachman says, teidu do'rahi. So again, I could show you that the case in the Mishnah is in fact the psak of a Beis Din. Tebichala Torah kula eidach alo mehemen, because in general, one witness is not believed. Vahacha mehemen. And here the aid is believed. My time, what's the reason for that? La mishum dorohi, is that not because in reality Beis Din is issuing a hora, a psak, a marava, teda de tosi. Rava says, no, I'm going to tell you, in fact, that what? That this is a tos, de ilu horu Beis Din b'chelev u'bedam lehetera. But listen to this case. If Beis Din were to go out in Paskin, and they were to say that a particular piece of chilev or a particular a collection of blood were to be mutter, right? Let's say they were to say these items were mutter, vahadar chazu taima liisura, and ultimately again, and they then saw a reason to go ahead and declare it unfit. Ki hadri va'amar le'atira lo mashkechin aluhu. If they were to go back and say that it would once again be mutter, we would not listen to them. Ve'ilu heicha da'asu eid echad. Yet here, if the eid echad were to come, sharina. So again, I will say, remember, let's say in our case in the Mishnah, eid echad shows up, says that husband died. Therefore, that permits the woman. Asu trei asarna. Then what happens? Two more witnesses come and say, no, the husband's still alive, so we prohibit her. And yet again, if another Eid Echad were to show up and say, what? No, the husband is dead. We would permit her. My taima, la mishum de tosi. So we'll say, here's the nafkamina. The nafkamina is, if somebody does something, if something is a tos, then by definition, that tos keeps going back and forth until you try to figure out what indeed is correct, as opposed to hora, where hora stands in place. So the fact that lemaisa, we keep on accepting new testimony as it unfolds, indicates that we assume that Beis Din made a mistake. Beis Din did not issue a psak, and therefore again that's a raya to our Mishnah. Va'af Rabbi Eliezer suffered a tosu. Even Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's a tos. Tisanya. Because we learned, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Rabbi Eliezer says, Yikov hadina sahar, v'tavi chatos shmeina. So Rabbi Eliezer says, let justice split the mountain, and let her bring a big fat chatos. Which I will say is now, again, obviously when it comes to a chatos, we don't care if it's a fat chatos, so we don't care if it's a lean chatos. This obviously is a little bit of hyperbole to make a point. And the point that Rabbi Eliezer is making is that Lemaisa, the Mishnah is incorrect, and she should have to go ahead and bring a carbon chatos. Because at the end of the day, Beis Din, when they allowed her to go ahead and get remarried, were not issuing a psak. What were they doing? They were just simply confirming what the Eid Echad said. But if it turns out that the Eid Echad was wrong, the Psak Beis Din was wrong as well. And therefore, the Maisa should be chayevis to go ahead and bring a carbon. So the Gemara says, Yeah, I'm Rebbe Shlomo de Ta'osu, Mishum Hachi Masya Carbon. So I understand if you say that Beis Din made a mistake, that's why she has to bring a carbon. So the Gemara says, however, but if you say that when Beis Din allowed her to remarry, that was a Horas Beis Din, that was a Psak Beis Din, then therefore the Maisa, even if it turns out that what? Even if it turns out that the Psak was wrong, she should still be covered. Right at the end of the day, she should still be covered because Lemaisa, again, she filed the Psak Beis Din, Amai Masi Carbon. V'dilma kasav Rabbi Eliezer, well, maybe Rabbi Eliezer holds, Yochid Sha'asa Bahoraz Beis Din Chayiv. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer holds that what? That an individual who went ahead and based their actions on the instruction of Beis Din is chayiv, right? Meaning, again, maybe Rabbi Eliezer disappoints the whole idea that even Lemaisa, if a Beis Din tells you to do something and it turns out that you're wrong, that you're still chayiv for that, then well, that can't be. Im kein, ma'yikov hadin esahar. If that's the case, then what did he mean when he said, yikov hadin esahar? Look at Rashi. Ela im kein, ma'yikov, midetani hacha, mashma di'ilo ma'ainon ba shapir lefum riata, hava patrile. So again, he actually changes it over here. Ma'ainon in the Hagos Utsi Union. So therefore, again, the fact that Rabbi Eliezer says Yikov Adin Sahar indicates that Lamaisa, this was not a Psak Beis Din. This is not a Psak Beis Din, because if it was a Psak Beis Din, Beis Din would have investigated a little bit more fully. So because this is not a Psak Beis Din, rather again, it's a Horaz, excuse me, rather again, it's a mistake in Beis Din. Therefore, she has to go ahead and bring a carbon. So, Bosa, I'll just tell you, Even if you look back at the way that the Mishnah reads, you don't have to look back at the Mishnah, but the Mishnah says, Api Bezin Teitzi Epturim Min HaKarban. So remember, we actually don't paskin like this Mishnah. We paskin like the statement of the Ziri, the Rambam has the statement of Ziri, and that essentially in these cases, when Bezdin allows a woman to remarry on based on the testimony of one witness, so again, Halach Lamai said that is not a Hora'as Bezdin. So with a Kamas not a Patach, it's not a Hora'as Bezdin. It is not ultimately, again, it's not Bezdin paskening, right? But rather, what is it? It's Bezdin allowing her, which, by the way, fits in with the general theme of everything we've discussed in this particular subject, that this is an incredible leniency, that Bezdin is allowing her to go ahead and get remarried based on what? Based on what? On the assumption that she is going to be doing her own due diligence. Because since at the end of the day, if the information is wrong, she has a lot to lose, the automatic assumption is she is doing her due diligence. And therefore, if husband number one shows back up, that reflects poorly on the amount of due diligence that she has affected, and that she has invested, and therefore the ma'isa, she is left kind of holding the bag on this. So therefore, we paskin like Ziri, and even if Bezdin gives her the license to remarry, that is not a hora, that is not a psak Bezdin, and therefore, should it turn out that the Eid Echad was wrong, she would be mechuyavas to bring the karban. Horua Bezdin lina, say, it's the next case. Bezdin, and that, so again, halach lemaisa like Ziri. Horu Bezdin lina, say, so this is the next case, where if Bezdin gave her the right to remarry, but it being based on the testimony of an Eid Echad, and what happened? Instead of getting remarried, she went ahead and she committed znus. She engaged in a relationship outside of the context of marriage. So in that case, the Mishnah said that she is chayeves to bring a karban. So it says the Gemara, my kilkula. And again, remember, my kilkula. What does it mean that she was, what does it mean, kilkula? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Lezer Omer, zinsa. Rabbi Eliezer says that again, literally it means she committed znus, meaning she engaged in a relationship outside of the context of marriage. And again, this is the same case. This is a situation where Bezdin allowed her to get remarried, but what? She didn't get remarried. Instead, she kilkula. Kilkula means she messed herself up. So again, in that, and then again, the parenthesis is, and then husband number one comes back. So now in this case, again, she's chayev as a karban. So the Gemara says, my kilkula, Rabbi Lazar, Omer Zinsa, she committed znus. Rabbi Lazar, again, I want to be clear. The normal halakhic definition of znus usually means someone who is, let's say, a married woman who engages in a extramarital affair, thank you. But the idea of zinsa, the Gemara is using it in a little bit more of a global way, of any unsanctioned act of relations. So meaning at this point in time, this woman thinks that she's single. So therefore, again, she has relations with another man. Again, so it's not zinus in the classic sense of zinus, but it's still a relations outside of the context of marriage. Therefore, she be chayav as karban. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Amar lekohen gadol grusha v'chalutz lekohen hedyot. No. Kilkula means what? She married someone whom she was not permitted to marry. That's the case of Zinsa. So we'll say again, if you look at Rashi, actually, I'm sorry, not yet. So the Gemara says, Man da amr Zinsa, kol shakein amar ala kohen gadol. So we'll say, the one who says that she's chayev as a karban for znus would of course say that she's chayev as a karban if she married a kohen gadol. Meaning, we'll say, remember, these situations could either be she thinks she's an almana, so she's marrying a kohen gadol, or perhaps, again, she's a grusha from a previous marriage. Meaning, let's say the marriage that just ended because she heard that her husband died was not her first marriage, she was a divorcee. Now remember, again, once you're a divorcee, that status remains with you, even if you subsequently remarry and you are widowed, you are still considered to be the Gabi, the Kahuna, a Grusha. So in this situation, Rabbi Yochanan is suggesting she entered into an illegal marriage. So the Madam who says that she's Chayev as a Karban because of Znos will say all the more so that she's Chayev as a Karban because that she was an Almanah because of an illegal relationship. Mando Omer Almanah LeKohen Gadol Aval Zin Salo. But the Madam who says that the case of Kilkala is the case where she entered into an illegal marriage and that's where she's Chayev as a Karban would not agree in the case of Znos, would say that in the case where she was Mizana, where she just engaged in a relationship with another single man, so Lemais again, she's not Chayev as a Karban. My time, what's the reason? The Amra Asan Hu Dishavisan Pinuya, because she could turn to the Bezdin and she could say to the Bezdin, what? You are the guys who made me into a single woman, meaning I only did what I did based on the fact that what? Based on the fact that Lamaisa, again, you gave me my single status. Meaning, we'll say, listen to this. Meaning, in the case of Amar the Kohen Gadol, Gusha v'Chalutz the Kohen Hedjon, those relationships were usher anyway. Meaning, the fact that Beis Din gave her a license to remarry, or I should say, the Eid Echad gave her a license to remarry, it only gave her a license to remarry how? How? To a legal husband, but she's entering into illegal relationships. So again, she doesn't have a head to do that. Therefore, she's certainly chayav as a karban. In the case of Zinsa, so to speak, she can say, "Look, what did I do? I was a single girl, just going and having relations with another guy. Why did I do that? Because you gave me the legal right to do that through the Eid Echad." So the, and therefore again, she should be p'tura from a karban. Tanya kavasti Rabbi Yochanan. We have a brayse that supports Rabbi Yochanan, who says that again, it's only in a legal marriage that makes her chayvus in a karban. Harua beizin lina seva halcha v'kilkala. The brayse says that the beizin gave her the right to go ahead and get remarried. V'halcha v'kilkala, and she went. And she went, and she instead engaged in kilkala. What's an example of kilkala? Kegon almana the kohen gadol grusha v'chalutz the kohen hedyot. An example would be an almana to a kohen gadol grusha v'chalutz the kohen hedyot. Chayeves b'karban al kol bia ubia divir Rabbi Eliezer. Excuse me, Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar says she is chayeves for every single bia. She's chayeves a karban for every single bia. The chum say no, karban echad ala kol. Chum say no, she's only chayeves one karban for everything. However, the point is, what do you see from? Well, that's the finished price. Umod the chol Rabbi Lazar, but the chum agreed to Rabbi Lazar that what? Shemniseis lechamisha b'nei adam. That if she married five different men, shechayeves bekarban akol echad ve'echad hoel ve'gufin mechulakin. The Rabbi says, so again, the chum agreed to Rabbi Lazar that what? That if she married five men, that wasn't she married five men. Obviously not at the same time. But let's say she married Kohen one, they got divorced. She then married Kohen two, they got divorced. Kohen three, so on and so forth. That she would be chayeves for each illegal marriage. So even though Rabbi Eliezer holds, Rabbi Lozer holds that she's chayeves for every single bia, and the chum say no, she's not chayeves for every, she's chayeves for every single marriage. Even the chum would agree that if she married five men, she would be chayeves a carbon for each of those marriages. But Rabbi Lozer say, what comes out from here is that halacha lemaisa. What comes out from here is that the Gemara seems to bring a brisa that supports this idea that the definition of kilkala is not zinus, but rather the definition of kilkala is what? That she entered into an illegal marriage. So I'll say, how do we paskin? So again, the Rambam paskins like the definition of Rabbi Eliezer, that kilkala literally means kilkala. Kilkala does not mean a marriage, but rather, again, kilkala means znus. Now, the truth is, for our purposes, it doesn't really matter all that much because we've already established that Lamaisa, even if she gets remarried based on the witness Eid Echad and the license of Beis Din, she's still going to be Chayav Esekarban. So for our purposes, whether she gets remarried based on the testimony of the Eid Echad or she just engages in relations with another man based on the testimony of Eid Echad, and then what? And then husband number one shows up, and he's still alive, she will be chayeves a karban in all of these circumstances. Says the Mishnah, Ha'isha shahalach, so we'll say another variation of this case. Ha'isha shahalach baylo ubna labdinas hayom. So we'll say in this case over here, a woman has a child with this man. And what happened? The husband and the son went overseas. She gets word that both her husband and son died. Now, Bosai, the order of their deaths are exceptionally important because remember, if husband dies first, then that means again he died with surviving offspring, which means that she is not chayeves in yibum. However, again, if son dies first, then by the time the husband dies, there is no surviving offspring, and there she is chayeves in yibum. So it's very important. We've learned this before, but just to reinforce this. The idea of a husband dying childless means that he is childless at the time of his death. It could be that he fathered many children, but if those children predeceased him, then the Maisi he is called childless. So in this case over here, the order of the death of father and son is exceptionally important. So woman hears that her husband and son go overseas. And the woman gets word that they died. And So what happens? So now what happens? She gets word, your husband died, and then your son died. Okay, so now she's free from Yibum. Vini says she gets remarried. The Achakach Amrula Chiluf Hadvarim Hayu. And then what happens? Now she got remarried, and it turns out witnesses come back later on and say, no, the reverse was true. Your son died first, and then your husband, which means that what? She's obligated in Yibum. She's obligated in Yibum. Now what's the problem? The problem, of course, is now she's remarried. So what do we do in such a situation? Teisei, she has to leave husband number two. V'avlad rishon v'achron mamzer. And the child... The first, well, literally, well, the way we'll translate it is, the first child and the second child are mamzerim. Then I'll say, we'll discuss what first and second mean. Now, presumably, what this means is, children she had with husband number two. Both the first child and the second child, the earlier children and later children from husband number two, are all mamzerim. We'll discuss what that means. Amrula, if they said to her, meis b'neich v'achakach meis b'alech, case number two, same thing, husband and son go overseas, she gets word that they died, she's told that her son died, and then her husband died, son died first, and then husband died, which means that what? She is subject to the laws of Yibum, v'nis yapma, and therefore she did Yibum, v'achakach amr lo chiluf hayu advarim, and then afterwards they say to her, no, we made a mistake, right? It was first your husband that died, and then your son that died, i.e. you are not obligated in Yibum. But I will say, what's happened in the interim? Interim is, she's married her brother-in-law. She's married her brother-in-law. So what's the halacha? Teitze? She has to leave, because honestly, I will say, now this is an arayas. This is an illegal relationship. Vavlad rishon v'acharon mamzer. And the children she had from this yavam, both the earlier ones and the latter ones, are mamzerim. Amrula. They said to her, meis ba'alech, your husband died. V'niseis. And she got remarried. V'achakach amrula kayim haya umeis. The boss said, listen to this. This is an interesting case. Husband goes overseas. Wife gets word that he died. She remarries. Then what happens? After she remarries, witness comes back and says, no, here's what happened. At the time you remarried, he was alive. But he subsequently died. So at the time you got married to husband number two, he was still alive, but he's now dead. So what's the halacha? Teitzei, she has to leave husband number two because, again, that was now, it turns out, an adulterous union. Vavlad rishon mamzer, the first child was a mamzer. Va'achron ain't a mamzer, but the latter one was not a mamzer. And Rabbi say, now this is a little bit clearer because rishon in this context means what? Any child she had with husband number two, at the time that husband number one was still alive, that child is a mamzer because at the end of the day, again, that child was born of an adulterous union. But any child, any latter children that they had in this union, as much as the union is usher, but any children that they had after it turns out their husband number one was dead, are not mamzerim. Amrullah, next case, meis ba'alech, right word came back that her husband died, v'nis kadsha, and she accepted kiddushin from a second man, v'achakach ba'baila, and then her husband in fact comes back to town, muteres lachzorlo, she is permitted to go back to husband number one, afa pi shenosan la'acharon get, and even though again husband number two is going to give her a get, la'pasla minakuhuna, that get does not invalidate her from the kuna. Again, we'll discuss what this means. As Zudar Shabalaza ben Masya, Rabalaza ben Masya dash in this pasuk, he said, this is what the pasuk means when it says, V'isha grusha me'isha, that a kohen is only prohibited to a woman who was divorced from her husband. V'lo mi'ish she'eno isha, but she is not prohibited to him if what? If she was divorced from a man who was not her husband. And I will say, where can you ever have a case of a woman who is divorced from a man who is not her husband? This case over here, woman thought that her husband was dead, husband number one was dead. She received kiddushin from husband number two. Not yet nisuin, as we'll see in the Gemara. Husband number one then comes back. She's permitted to go back to husband number one. Husband number two will give her a get for reasons that we will discuss. But such a get does not invalidate her from the kuhuna. Why? Because Lamaisa, again, husband number two was never her husband. And therefore, if a woman receives a get from a man who is not her husband, that does not invalidate her from the kuhuna. Says the Gemara, my rishon, my achron. So ask the Gemara, so we'll say, let's go back to this for just a moment. So the Gemara, the Mishnah kept making this distinction between a first child and a second child. What does this mean, Rishon Achron? And by the way, Rishon Achron could either mean first or second, or perhaps better stated, earlier and latter. Earlier and latter. Says the Gemara, and what does that mean? Ilema Rishona Rishon Lifneish Shmua V'Achron L'Achar Shmua Listnia Mamzer. Now, boss, let's play this out. Let's just take the first case of the Mishnah. Remember, what was the first case of the Mishnah? Woman goes ahead, husband and son go overseas, and what happens? They tell her that your husband died, and then your son, and she remarries, and then it turns out that it was just the opposite. Son died, and then husband, so she was subject to Yibum. So the Mishnah said, Tete, she has to leave husband number two, Vavlad Rishon Va'achron Mamzer. So if you want to say that Lamaisa again, it means, Rishon means before she got the news, meaning the second set of information, that in fact, again, what she heard the first time was wrong. And Achron means after the news. Either way, the kid's a Mamzer. Right, now we'll discuss why the kids and moms are in just a little bit. Well, actually, no, we don't have to discuss. It's clear why. Either way, the kids and moms are why. Because Lamaisa, again, she got remarried with false information. We will see that our Mishnah, just to give you coming attractions, we will see that the Mishnah is reflective of the view of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva holds that even Chai Ve'lavin produce Mamzerim. So that'll make sense in just a moment. To which the Gemara says, either way, the child's a Mamzer. To which the Gemara says, no, Mishun the Kabbalah Misni Seifa. No, the reason we need this distinction is because of the latter case of the Mishnah. What was the latter case of the Mishnah? Amr La Meis Balech V'Niseis. They said to a woman, your husband died, and as a result, she got remarried. V'acharkach Amr Le Kayim. And then they said to the woman, no, your husband was alive at the time he got remarried, umes, but he subsequently died. Harishon mamzer va'achron inu mamzer, tana rishon va'achron mamzer. So we'll listen to this. Essentially, the Gemara says, you're right. In all the cases in the Mishnah, you don't have to put in this wording of rishon mamzer, achron mamzer. The only reason we made the rishon acharon distinction was why? Was for the last case in the Mishnah, the Seifa, where we spoke about the situation where a witness came along and said, your husband died, she got remarried. Then witnesses come along and say, what? Your husband was alive at the time you got remarried, but what? But what? He's dead now. So there the Mishnah has to make a distinction. Children that she had before husband number one died were in fact mamzerim, but children after husband number one died were arksherim. So once we had to distinguish between Vlad Rishon and Vlad Achron, in the latter part of the Mishnah, they just used that same verbiage where in the earlier part of the Mishnah, even though the earlier part of the Mishnah does not really have that same distinction. So about say we see this all the time, that in order to preserve what we'll call, literary Mishnaic symmetry, we use the same verbiage even though you don't need it. Tan Rabbanan, Zu Divrei Rabbi Akiva. This case of the Yavama, who ended up marrying someone. So we'll say, let's take this case. Let's say it turns out they told the woman, her husband and son died. They told the woman that what? Husband died first and then son. So she thought that she was not subject to Yibum. And then what happens? They say, no, we got the order wrong. Your son died first and then your husband. So she was subject to Yibum. So remember again, so the Mishnah said that Lamaisa, again, the children are Mamzerim. Says the Gemara, children from husband number two are Mamzerim. Zudiv Rabbi Akiva, Shahaya Omer, in Kiddushin Tovsa Mechave Lavin. This idea that the children from this second union are Mamzerim, this is effective of the view of Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva holds that Kiddushin is not Tovsa Mechave Lavin. Remember again, Rabosai, everyone else says Rabbi Akiva holds that Kiddushin is not Tovsa, and Kiddushin does not take effect in relationships punishable by death or kares, but in relationships just simply punishable by a lav, like the Yavama case. Rabosai, if a Yavama marries someone other than her brother-in-law, so that's a love. So normally everyone else would say that union does not produce mamzerim. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that even relationships punishable by a love, i.e., if a man other than the brother-in-law marries a yavama, it's a love, it still produces mamzerim. Avacham the Chum say ein mamzer mi yavama. The Chum would disagree and they say no. This yavama case of where the woman who in reality was subject to yibum, but that went and married someone else, this does not produce mamzerim. I velema ein mamzer mechai ve'lavin. Why don't we just say that there are no mamzerim mechai? Excuse me. Let's go back. The Chum say ein mamzer mi yavama. That the case of yavama, the case of where the yavama, instead of marrying her brother-in-law, marries another man, that relationship does not produce mamzerim. So Gemara says, I don't say. Why don't you just say velema ein mamzer mechai ve'lavin? Make a more general statement, right? That the Chachamim hold that you can't produce mamzerim from relationships that are punishable by a lav. To which the Gemara says, Hai Tana, Hach Tana Rabbi Akiva, because this Tana reflects the following view the following view of Rabbi Akiva. Da'amar mechai ve'lavin disha'er have mamzer. Mechai ve'lavin geridi lo have mamzer. So we actually saw this earlier, that in Rabbi Akiva himself, there is a machlokes, that there are some say that according to Rabbi Akiva, any relationship punishable by a lav will go ahead and produce mamzerim. Others explain that no, it's only what we call chave lav de she'er. She'er means close relatives, like incestuous unions. It's only lavim that governs incestuous unions that those produce mamzerim, but other situations would not. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Minayin shen kiddushin tovsin biyivama. From where do we know that kiddushin is not tovsin biyivama? So we must remember, Rabbi Akiva takes it for granted that, again, that even though yivama ultimately, again, is only a lav, but yet he holds that it's a lav of she'er, it's a lav ultimately, again, that governs close relationships, and therefore, again, it produces, if a man other than the yavam marries the yavama, that union will produce mamzerim, which another way of saying that kiddushin is not tofsin, that kiddushin does not take effect with the Yavama, meaning I will say that if someone other than the Yavam, than the surviving brother, tries to marry this woman who was waiting for Yibum, according to Rabbi Akiva, Kiddushin does not take effect. Where do we know that from? Shene'emar, because the Pasuk says, Lo siya eishas hameis ha'achutza li'ish zar. The Torah says that the wife of the deceased shall not be, lo siya, she shall not be ha'chutza, outside, to a foreign man. So a foreign man means who? Someone other than her brother-in-law. So the Gemara Dash says, Lo teheba havia lazan. Now, both say, remember, the Lashon of havia, of sihia, is a Lashon of kiddushin. That therefore we see from here that what? That a woman, there is no kiddushin with Yavama for anyone other than the surviving brother. Ushmuel Amr Shmuel says, Ba'ani yosenu tzricha get. Is that actually interesting? Shmuel says, no, that because of our intellectual poverty, Shmuel says that we're not exactly sure how to dash in the Pasuk, so because of our intellectual poverty, therefore what? We will require her to go ahead and get and receive a get from the second husband. I was saying, now, what is the Gemara saying over here? According to Rabbi Akiva, which seems to be the Rabbi Akiva is the Tana of the Mishnah, according to what the Mishnah is saying is that Lamaisa, if in this case where she heard husband and son died, but remember she heard husband died first, son died second, therefore assumes she was not subject to Yibam, married another man. Then it turns out that what? The Yoder is wrong. And it turns out that son died first, husband died second, which means that what? She was subject to Yibum. So now what's the halacha regarding husband number two? So Rabbi Akiva holds, any kids from marriage number two are what? Mamzerim. And presumably what else? She does not require a get. Why doesn't she require a get? Because Kiddushin is not Tovsin with the Yavama. So Shmuel comes along and says, whoa, I'm not sure. That's correct or not. We are intellectually impoverished, which we'll see why he uses that term. We're intellectually impoverished. And therefore, again, I think we should require her to receive a get from husband number two. Mr. Gemara says, Misafkali the Shmuel, Hai lo siya eisha sameis, I lalav hu da'asa, I delatavsi bakidushin da'asa. And I must remember, because Shmuel says, remember, the whole idea of Rabbi Akiva, he paskins lo siya eisha sameis achutz li ishzar, teaches me that what? That there's no havia, there's no kiddushin. So because there's no kiddushin, therefore she doesn't need to get. Shmuel says, I'm not sure if that pasuk teaches me that there's no kiddushin, or if that pasuk just simply teaches me that what? That there is a lav that governs that relationship. So because I'm not sure, we have to cover our bases, and therefore, again, husband number two must give her a get as well. So the Gemara says, Amrli Rav Mari Barocha, Rav Ashi. So Rav Mari Barocha said to Rav Ashi, Hachi Amra Meimar. So said Ameimar, Halocha Kavase Dishmuel. That the Halocha indeed follows Shmuel, that's what Rabbi said, that in this case, where it turns out that the Yavama married another man, we're not going to just accept Rabbi Akiva's opinion that she doesn't need to get. Rather, we're going to accept Shmuel's opinion that Lamaisa, right? Lamaisa, again, she requires a get even from husband number two. Out of Safek. Amar Rav Ashi, Hashta da Amar Ameimar Hilchasa Kavase Dishmuel. Now that Ameimar said, Halocha follows Shmuel. Im haya yivama kohen cholitzla v'shar yila. So we'll say, now that we say the halacha is like Shmuel, so the truth is, if that's the case, if indeed the coin was a Yavama, excuse me, the I'm sorry, not the coin was a Yavama, that the Yavam was a coin. We'll say, what does that mean? Let's say husband number one, that is now dead, was a coin, which means that therefore his surviving brother is also a coin. Said Rabbi Bosa, here's what's interesting. If you accept Shmuel's premise, then husband number two is doing what? Is giving her a get. Well, if husband number two is giving her a get, then what's Rabbi Bosa? Then surviving brother, who is a Kohen, cannot do Yibum with her. Therefore, what will he do? He'll do Chalitza. Well, if he's going to do Chalitza, then what? Then what? Then we should permit her to go ahead and then continue her marriage with who? With husband number two. Right, to husband number two, and Rabbi Bosa, again, we'll perhaps make them go out and do another kiddushin, or maybe not. Maybe we'll just simply allow for chalitza to be done and allow her to resume the relationship. And again, I will say, essentially, the Gemara setting up over here is if you have a situation where yibum cannot happen, because now again, remember, according to Shmuel, husband number two has to give her a get. If husband number two has to give her a get, that means she's nifsala lekahuna, even misafik, she's nifsala lekahuna, which means that yavam can only do chalitza. So okay, if yavam does chalitza, and let her remain married to husband number two. To which the Gemara says, one second, is gure iskar? Are you telling me then that husband number two is going to profit? Imkein, matzinu chote niskar. Therefore, we see that what? Sin pays. And I was saying, what does it mean, sin pays? Then I was saying, in this case, what you're essentially telling me is that this husband number two that effectively she was illegally married to, you're going to tell me now that what? That she could remain married to him. If that's the case again, you know, I will say the whole idea is we try to disincentivize. Right, we try to take away the incentive, right, from sin. So the idea, if we try to take away the incentive from sin, if you allow her to remain married to husband number two, so the truth is, again, there's really no incentive not to sin if at the end of the day this relationship could continue regardless. Ella im haya, Surah the Gemara says, no, what we meant to say is like this. Ella im haya yevama Yisrael. Rather, what we mean to say is like this, is that lemaisa, again, if the yavam, the surviving brother of deceased husband number one, was Yisrael, no sin law sheni get, husband number two will go in and give her a get, v'hutralon, she becomes permitted to him. The him is who? The him is the surviving brother, the yavam. Amrav gidl, amrav chia bar Yosef. Amar Rav, Yivama, Kiddushin Einba, Nisuin Yeshba. So what's that comes along, Rav Gidl. So the name Rav Chia, name Rav Yosef, name of Rav. That a Yivama, so what's that, let's discuss what this means. Kiddushin Einba, Nisuin Yeshba. What does this mean? Look at Rashi. Nisuin Yeshba. Kasaka Daitcha Le'inyan Get. De Emnises Lazar Sha'amrula Meis Ba'aleich. Va'achakach. So we'll say, now look at this. So Rav is qualifying the case. Now, Kiddushin Ein Ba Nisuin Yesh Ba means what, Rabbi Osai? That in this same case, where what? She was told, husband and son went overseas. She was told that what? Originally she was told, your husband died first, and then your son. Which means, sorry. Which means that she is exempt from Yibum. She went and got remarried. Then it turns out that what? She was mistaken. It was a mistaken testimony. In fact, son died first and now husband died afterwards. So the Gemara says, if she only did Kiddushin with husband number two, she doesn't require anything. She doesn't need a get. However, if she did Nisuin, then what? We would accept that, meaning in other words, what we're doing now is we're further qualifying the Psak of Shmuel. When does Shmuel say that she requires a get? That's only if what? That's only if there was Nisuin. But if all she did was Kiddushin with husband number two, we would not require a get. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. E Kiddushin ein ba, Nisuin nami ein ba. I don't understand. That doesn't make sense. Meaning, again, Shmuel's obligation for a get should apply across the board. And if there's not an obligation for a get from Kiddushin, there shouldn't be an obligation for a get from Nisuin. To which the Gemara says, Ema Kiddushin unisuin einba. Rather, again, say instead that what it means is there is no Kiddushin and Nisuin. In other words, that the Gemara now is saying, Rav seems to be saying against Shmuel. That Rav is saying that, in fact, she does not need a get at all from second marriage, be it from Nisuin or from kiddushin. I should say kiddushin from nisuin. Vibay sema. The other possibility is my nisuin yeshba. What does it mean that there is nisuin biznus? Oh, we're talking about a case as nus. Look at Rashi. Biznus dahavi kiznus. Umisra ayavam kirav hamnuna v'ravashi d'amar le'el no sein la sheni get v'huchralo lesi d'rav hamnuna. So we'll say the other possibility is that when it says nisuin yeshba, it means that that when she gets married, if she consummates her marriage with husband number two, that is effectively like znus. And once there is znus, she would become prohibited to the yavam. Kidrav hamnuna. Damar of hamnuna, like Rav Hamnuna says, shomeres yavam shezinsa through the yavam, the yavama, the yavma, that if a shomeres yavam, a woman waiting for a yibam, engages in znus, then what's Rabosai? She becomes asura to the yavam. Vibaisim, the other possibility is the olam kid ka amra meikara. In reality, we should go back to what we originally said before. Look at Rashi. Kida amra meikara, nisuin yeshba le'inyan get. Know that what it means is there is nisun with this second husband in terms of requiring a get. Let's finish the Gemara up. Kidam Rinakira, Kidushin Ainba, Nisuin. Actually, let's do Rashi first. Kidam Meikara, Nisuin Yeshba. So let's go back to what we originally said before. Then when we said that Kidushin Ainba, Nisuin Ainba means that if all she did was kiddushin with husband number two, there'd be no obligation for get. But if she did nisuin with husband number two, then what? There would be an obligation for get. Why? Now let's look at Rashi. Kidama meikara nisuin yeshba le'inyan get v'la mishum dekiddushin inhu. And not because necessarily the second marriage is effective. Ela mishum de'imafkas labelo get. Asi lemeimer nami beisha shehalach b'ayla medina sayam. V'niseis api bezin be'ed echad. Teitzei belo get. Because of us, we could confuse this case of the Yavama with a regular case of a woman whose husband went overseas, and Eid Echad came and said the husband died, and she got remarried. We would assume that she should also leave without a get. Aval niskan shelo bayegita, daha ishes if shkufa, shniskan shapi bezin be'Eid Echad teitze below get, kidisnan, so we'll say, listen to this. Essentially, what the Gemara says is the following, that halacha l'maisa, in a case of where the Yavama goes ahead and even does nisuin with someone else, in reality, she shouldn't need a get even from that situation. Why? Because since she's a Yavama, she is bound to another man, and therefore nisuin with someone else will not work. However, because we are concerned that if we allow her out of nisuin, if we allow her out of nisuin without a get, what may happen? That may come to be confused with the other case of Isha Shalach Bayla Medina Sayam, where if she does get remarried to another man, she does need to get, she does require a get from nisuin. Therefore, again, even in the case of Yavama, we will require a get from nisuin. Rabosai simply stated, if we allow the Yavama who did nisuin from another with another man to get out of that relationship without a get, even though what? Technically speaking, what? She does not require a get. Remember, at least according to Rabbi Akiva, that kiddushin is not tovsin with the Yavama. We're concerned that if we allow that in the Yavama case, people will assume that is true in what? In the non-Yavama case as well. Whereas in the non-Yavama case, which is the case of just someone whose husband went overseas, witness came back and said, your husband died, we let her get remarried. If she goes in and she marries another man, she does require a get from nisuin. So therefore, we require a get by the Yavama case as well, lest you come to confuse it with the regular nisuin. However, kiddushin ein ba nisuin yeshba, demichlefa beisha shehalach b'ayla medinas hayam. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yanai, b'chabura nimnu, in the chabura, in the group of chachamim, we decided, nimnu v'gamru, ein kiddushin tovsin b'yavama. We decided that kiddushin is not tovsin b'yavama. And therefore, I will say, again, which is in line of what we've been learning until now, that's not with the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Akiva holds again, that in kiddushin tovsin b'chayvei lavin, or at least even b'chayvei lavin, the she'er, ultimately we'll call it immorality lavin, kiddushin is not tovsin, and therefore again, if you try to betroth a yavama, such a kiddushin will not work. Amar li Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi lo mishnah seinu hizo, did we not learn this in a mishnah? Right? Meaning we know this already. This non, because we're also listening to this, and this will conclude. Ha'omer, le'isha hari ad nikudesh esli. If a man says to a woman, You are mikudeshes to me. La'achar she'es gayer. So the man's not Jewish. He's not Jewish. And he says to her, become mikudeshes to me on the condition that, or I should say, on the condition that after I convert, or la'achar she'tis gayri, she's not Jewish, after you convert, or la'achar she'shtachrer, he's an eved, after I'm emancipated, or la'achar she'tishtachriri, or after you are emancipated, or, this is a good one, la'achar she'yamos ba'alech, right? Right? Do me a favor. Look, it's good to plan ahead. Your husband's not looking so good these days. So do me a favor. Look, chas shalom, I'm not going to commit adultery. But, you know, listen, if you're ever on the market again, right? If your husband dies, right? So if your husband, you become mikudeshes on the condition that your husband dies, or when your husband dies, or la'achar she'tamos achosech. Our boss said, this guy is a real, real piece of work. Or he says, what? He's married to her sister. So he says, listen, I can't marry you now, but when your sister dies, perhaps your sister, by the way, who's my wife, right, will die, so you'll marry me. This one isn't as bad. Or after your brother-in-law does chalitza with you. Rabbi saying all of these cases in the mikudeshes. Rabbi saying the only one we care about is what? Is this last one. Is this last one, right? Because here you have, what is this woman? This woman is a yavama. He's trying to affect kiddushin with her. And what do we see from here? That kiddushin is not tofsin with a yavama. Rashi's enu mikudeshes. Kevan dahash lo tafsi ba kiddush lekamei nami lo tafsi. So we'll say again. So the assumption over here is that lamaisa kiddushin is not tofsin bechayve lavin. Fine. Excuse me. Let me say a different thing. Kiddushin is not tofsin with what? With the yavama. So we'll say. Remember, just follow the progression over here. So Rabbi Yana came along and said, we decided, we voted on it, and we decided that you cannot be mekadisha yavama. A man other than the surviving brother cannot affect kiddushin with the yavama. So we'll say. So Rabbi Yochanan says, like we learned that already, right? It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says you can't. This, and we'll say that says last case. If a man says to him, "Become mikudeshes to me after you do chalitza," it doesn't work. Why? Because you cannot affect any level of kiddushin with a woman who is a yivama. So listen to this. We'll say, so Rabbi Yanai says, "Amar lei ilav didiloi lachaspa mi mashkachas marganisa to say, had I not removed the shard, would you not have found the pearl? Excuse me. Had I not removed the shard, you would have never found the pearl." Meaning, what was he saying? The Rebbe said, if you look at this Mishnah actually potentially teaches another idea, which is, Ein Adam Makne Davar Shelo Bali Olam. So Rebbe said, in all of these cases are all want to make a current reality dependent on some future event that may or may not happen. So had I read this Mishnah in a vacuum, I would have said the reason why these cases don't work is because a person can stipulate on something that has not yet occurred, that may or may not occur. That's called a davar shelo bali olam. I would have thought that's why these cases of kiddushin don't work. Kamash malon, Rabbi Yanai saying, shkayach, you think you figured this out? The only reason you know that this Mishnah is talking about what it's talking about is because I told you that kiddushin can not take effect with the yavama. Oh, now when you know that, when you look at that last case, and the last case that says, li'achar, hari at mikudeshes li almenas, shiyachlots le'yivimeich, that if a man says to a woman, become mikudeshes on the condition that you do chalitza with your brother-in-law, that such a case won't work. Why? Not because it's a davar shelo bali olam, but rather why? Because you can't affect kiddushin with a yavama. So Rabbi Yana gives a little bit of musr, a little bit of a shtach, right? Back to Rabbi Yochanan, saying, Rabbi Yochanan, you only understood what the Mishnah was saying because I told you that we established halacha that you can't affect kiddushin with yivam. All right, Rabbi Yochanan, we'll pick up with here. We're still in the middle of this. You know, it's Hashem, so we'll pick up here. Meretz Hashem tomorrow. Shikoyach.
Rabbi, we've also learned that why children and husband go overseas and save a lot of problems.